Grand Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Officials are warning that winds are strong in Los Angeles, just as people are trying to get home to see if their home is even there. And it'll continue through Wednesday. Battalion Chief Eric Stamm is responding to the Palisades fire.
If you look at Pacific Coast Highway, the fire jumped 5 lanes. That's huge. That's massive. So that's the concern.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says he thinks aid from Congress to help California recover should be conditional.
I think there should probably be conditions on that aid. That's my personal view.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. A news conference is set to get underway in Los Angeles as warnings are out about the possibility of 70-mile-per-hour winds come morning. It is the last thing residents need as wildfires still burn. More on the winds from CBS's Laura Hafley.
With red flag warnings up through Wednesday, officials say high winds combined with low levels of humidity will keep the fire threat in all of Los Angeles County critical.
We are not in the clear as of yet, and we must not let our guard down.
And city officials say they've strategically positioned engine strike teams and task forces to respond rapidly to any new fire that breaks out.
At least 24 are dead. 92,000 people in L.A. County are under evacuation orders. With the fires on his mind, President Biden delivered a final speech on his foreign policy achievements.
During his speech, the president issued a warning to climate change skeptics in Donald Trump's incoming administration. He said to those that don't believe climate change is real,
I think they come from a different century.
Doubling down,
they're wrong. They are dead wrong.
He called climate change
the single greatest existential threat to humanity.
And he says the United States must win the clean energy contest against China. Stacey Lynn, CBS News, the White House.
After more than a year of war, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says an Israel-Hamas hostage and ceasefire deal could be close.
We are close to a deal, and it can get done this week. I'm not making a promise or a prediction, but it is there for the taking, and we are going to work to make it happen.
A federal judge cleared the way for the Justice Department to release one of the two volumes that make up Special Counsel Jack Smith's final report detailing his investigations into President-elect Donald Trump. Legal analyst Laurie Levinson.
Unless a higher court blocks it, the Special Counsel report regarding Donald Trump and what happened on January 6th, what Jack Smith found out about that investigation, is scheduled to be released after midnight tonight.
Trump will be inaugurated president for a second time 1 week from today. As for security in Washington, William McCool is with the U.S. Secret Service.
The Secret Service will bring agents and other specialists from field offices across the country to provide a full slate of visible and invisible security measures.
A Texas man is under arrest in Indianapolis after police say he stalked and sent sexually violent messages to Indiana Fever star Caitlin Clark. Marion County Prosecutor Ryan Mears.
You have the steps of actually traveling from Texas to Indianapolis, trying to figure out where they can maybe potentially locate the victim. All of those things certainly raised a number of alarm bells.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Officials are warning that winds are strong in Los Angeles, just as people are trying to get home to see if their home is even there. And it'll continue through Wednesday. Battalion Chief Eric Stamm is responding to the Palisades fire.
If you look at Pacific Coast Highway, the fire jumped 5 lanes. That's huge. That's massive. So that's the concern.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says he thinks aid from Congress to help California recover should be conditional.
I think there should probably be conditions on that aid. That's my personal view. We'll see what the consensus is.
But he did not go into detail. Tomorrow on Capitol Hill, President-elect Donald Trump's pick to lead the Pentagon, former Fox News personality Pete Hegseth, will have to publicly address scrutiny by Democrats over allegations from his past.
Hegseth has had a very rocky road. Allegations of sexual misconduct, allegations of fiscal mismanagement. They plan to pepper him with questions.
That's CBS's Nancy Cordes in Washington. CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and cold tonight, a low near 5 below, wind chills to 20 below. Sunny and up to 10 above for a high tomorrow. Warmer Wednesday with sun, low 20s. Continued warming Thursday and Friday, temps well into the 30s before much colder air returns for the weekend. Currently, it's 4.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay.
We welcome you into the Greg Gard Show as we touch base with the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers, winners of five straight games and looking to extend that stretch on Tuesday night as the Ohio State Buckeyes come to town for an 8 o'clock tip at the Kohl Center. And then it's on the road with everything going on in Southern California. The games look like they are on as the Badgers on Saturday will play USC and then a week from tomorrow taking on UCLA. The Hawkeyes are out there beginning on Tuesday night to play SC and then UCLA on Friday, and sounds like the light is green to have those games. On tonight's program, we will check in with freshman Jack Robison, as well as one of the true veterans of the program, Stephen Crow. But as always, we begin with the Badgers head coach as we recap Friday night against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Greg, we were talking before the game. I know the Badgers are on a really good run in recent years against Minnesota, but almost without exception, these games are close. Right. The Gophers, as much as they might be struggling, they hang in for quite a while. So maybe what was happening in that first half was not a great surprise, was it?
No, I think if you, like I always say, don't look at the final box score. Watch the game and watch the flow of it. And it'll tell you sometimes a different story than what the final score will tell you in terms of how tight the game was. And for the most part, Minnesota's games have been extremely tight. And there's, you know, one or two they maybe should have, could have won, but they haven't. But, you know, I credit our guys for putting, you know, not getting rattled at halftime when it was a 1-point game and we had rallied from down 10 to just stay the course, keep doing what we're doing. And over the course of time, I thought, you know, we were able to, you know, wear them down to some extent. Shots became easier. Everything opened up a little bit more in the second half.
As the Badgers put 50 on the board in the second half in that game, Kamari McGee, who, go back to his year at Green Bay, he was pretty much a regular in the starting lineup and really, you know, scored at a big clip late in the year for the Phoenix. He's been, his role here has been terrific coming off the bench. He gets his first career start because of, you know, with Max Klesman with the injury. But this guy, I mean, we've talked about him a lot. I don't know if there's too much fresh material here, but just an appreciation of everything he's bringing.
Yeah, I think the one thing that jumps out consistently to me, and I told him this in front of the team yesterday, was just how comparing who he was as a player when he got here from Green Bay to where he is now, it's the transformation he's made and the improvement he's made in his game is second to none. You know, he played too fast. He turned the ball over a lot. He didn't make shots. It was all the things that don't get you on the floor. And now he's been really, really consistent and really thriving in his role. And obviously the shift to the starting lineup, I thought the maturity of him was the best option to go with and be in that position. And obviously he helped lead us and played really well.
His 3-point shooting, I mean, Butchie's just raving about it. And why wouldn't he? It's, you know, 57%.
Right.
Has there been a mechanical adjustment? Or you mentioned the word maturity, experience, yeah, and all that. Is it as much that as
I
anything?
I think, you know, there is some mechanical things that he's tweaked and gotten better at. And that just comes with more reps of being older and more years in college. But I think the other thing is he's understanding better what are good shots and what are not good shots. And usually when you consistently take good shots, you'll make more than you'll, you know, than if you consistently take bad shots. So it's not rocket science, but I think he's understood, you know, the difference. And I think the other thing is just the analytic application that we've made has helped for the most part take some of the mid-range out of his game. He still has some. He had a big shot at the end of the half against Rutgers. You know, that was a mid-range shot, but for the most part, he understands that really well of rim and threes, and it puts him in position too where he can dribble and find guys and probe and come back out. But I think the shooting percentage, I think, is reflective just taking really good shots.
Any fan who watches this team probably smiles watching Kamari play because he plays with great joy too. Like he's, as you said, he's slowing down. He's taking care of all of those things that are non-negotiables with you. But is it, you know, it's a cliche to say enthusiasm can be contagious, but what he brings, it's that if
absolutely,
something's going to be contagious, that's
absolutely
a good thing.
Absolutely. I mean, he brings that, and he's like that every day. That's not a switch he flips when games arrive. So he's always really positive, but he also holds his teammates teammates accountable. I mean, he's very vocal in the huddles, whether he's in the five that are on the floor or not. He always has a voice and something to interject, and it's always positive, but it's also, you know, this is what we need to do better, and if we do this better, we're going to, you know, start striding in the right direction. So his leadership and his voice, because he is so likable, because he has played well and his production has backed up his voice, you know, the players respect him. And when you have the respect of your teammates and the appreciation of your teammates, then you're, you know, you can voice what you need to voice, and it usually sinks in. So, like I said, his maturity, his growth, his leadership, along with Carter Gilmore's, there may be not been two guys that we've had here in quite a while that have had an impact and don't start in terms of what they do for us on the floor and in the locker room. Gilly's the same way with his voice and his leadership. So it's, you know, we're not in this position sitting at 13-3 and playing really well without those two guys.
Speaking of Gilly, as the old line goes, everybody is good to go when you feel 100%. Carter Gilmore, what was he, maybe 20%? I mean, he was sick gave you 7 or 8 minutes.
He gave us as much as he could. I could tell after about the third trip when it starts to, you know, the anchor gets a little heavy. And he started to turn a little more green. So I was like, all right, this has got to be really short stints. And it was a good opportunity for Xavier Amos, too, to come in and get more minutes. And that's probably the most he's played all year for us. But, you know, Gilly, as he told me at halftime, he goes, I'll give you what I can, Coach. I wasn't very good in the first half as Garcia was scoring on him. He goes, but I said, well, I'll play in short spurts and let me know how you're feeling.
That's something that is, I mean, I don't want to belabor the point, but you guys have always, you've had this policy. You don't, I mean, and there's no reason why you would. If someone's not quite right, you don't announce that before the game. I remember Marcus Landry in a game many years ago at Indiana. Thought, ooh, we got beat baseline a couple times. It doesn't normally happen. After the game, you understood why. You know, he was sick. Right. But for Gilly to go through this, I mean, not everybody does that. It's like, hey, Coach, I don't feel it today. But Carter is like, let me try.
Yeah, right? No, he was going to do it. And Klesmet, too, was like, I'm going to dress and I'm going to be ready. Coach, if you need me in an emergency, I don't think our trainer liked his approach on that, but he's like, if you really need me, I'll go if you absolutely need me. But we were in a position where I felt once we got rolling there in the back half of the first half, he wasn't in a position to jump in, and it wasn't. Fortunately, we didn't have an emergency occur,
right?
And we were able to finish that one out.
It's always the athletic trainer's nightmare in a lot of ways. The guys who, like, on the one hand, you want them to try to push it, but like within reason. It's like Gosser back in the day, right? So Brent Neuhart, the athletic trainer, just making sure he pumped the brakes. So you guys have been, the depth has really been showing up in a good way for you guys. So you've had some bad luck here in recent weeks. Here we've talked about it on a television taping with Ricardo Greppi on the brink maybe getting out there. He gets injured in a practice. Cameron Hunter, kind of a flukish thing before the game, right on Friday. Yeah, he was going to get in there probably.
Yeah, he was. With Klesmet being out, you know, we were really and not just because Klesmet has been out or was going to be out. It was how Cameron had been playing. The consistency day in and day out that he'd been playing with on the scout team. And I'd brought him over in short spurts at times, but then the day before the game, knowing Max was likely out for 2 days prior, brought him over and he did some really good things. And then in a workout Friday afternoon that everybody goes through and he plays a little more, our development guys play a little bit more, you know, came down on somebody's foot and tweaked his ankle. So so he's on the mend, but it's good for other guys to step up. I thought Marcus Silver gave us some good things, even though positionally not the same as our backcourt. I was able to shuffle minutes around a little bit, and he did what he'd been doing in practice. You ring that bell from three.
Yeah.
So it was good. I was excited to see his teammates, how excited they got for Marcus when he was splashed those back-to-back threes.
We could talk about a lot of different things, mechanical tweaks, this, that, and the other, but the old word confidence goes a long way, and I get the impression we've talked about Marcus a few times here, either on this show or TV platforms, whatever. You see the ball go through the hoop a couple of times, and because he's smart enough, right, and all the other stuff.
Him, it's always been he does it in practice, and then we don't see it in the game, or he does it in practice, but then he doesn't do it today or tomorrow. It was so up and down. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing he's a handful every day in practice from a scout team standpoint. So it's good to see him translate that from how he'd been playing in practice to going in and having that same confidence and aggression when he gets in games.
That's one of the biggest adjustments for a player, no matter class rank. If you do a lot of scout team stuff where the light is almost always green, you right. can get away with a lot of things, and then that doesn't work regular rotation. A little adjustment period. Some maybe adjust faster than others, but that's not the easiest thing.
Probably. No, it's not. It's not an easy thing to adjust to. And I think the nice thing with Marcus, or the good thing with Marcus, his experience, he's keeping his aggressiveness with taking the right shots, and he has confidence he's going to make them. He knows the step back, fall away shots that he takes on the scout team at times. You know, probably keep those in your holster. But he's maintained that confidence where he can, you know, in transition, spray threes. And I've been able to play him at the three, which hasn't been the case for most of his career just because of positionally not being able to really guard threes and the ball handling. But with how we're playing offensively now, he fits well. He really understands it. He moves the ball. You can watch when he's in, that ball pops out of his hands. It's not over dribbled. And like I said, he's been the recipient of knocking down some threes.
About 10 minutes into this program, we haven't talked about one of the hottest players in the conference right now, Stephen Crowell, continues right. to just be consistently good for what you guys have been doing throughout the course of these last five games.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's, I don't know, everybody wants to know if it was my magical talk to him or whatever after the Illinois game, but really, I think it's a combination. One, he's been more aggressive. Two, I think the shortening of the rotation or shortening of the minutes can stack together. It's maybe he's getting roughly the same amount of minutes, maybe a few less, but he's playing in shorter spurts, which allows him just to empty the tank, go full throttle. And I think the emergence of Gilmore, Amos, and how Nolan Winter has played is allows us the comfort to have Steve in and out more often and not be as consistently maybe dependent, knowing we're getting great contributions from those other guys. But yeah, it's good to see, you know, a guy that's really committed himself to the program, been here and now in the fifth year, playing some of his best basketball, you know, in his last year here.
All right, Badgers trying to keep it going on Tuesday night, taking on Ohio State. Our coverage will start at 7. Tip time is set for 8 o'clock. We'll talk about the Buckeyes and more. We'll hear from Stephen Crowell in a bit, as well as freshman Jack Robinson. More with Coach Gard, though, coming up in a couple of minutes on the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Save big money now at Menards. Stand up to life's messes with our great selection of durable and waterproof flooring. Great Lakes vinyl plank flooring is easy to install and is durable, pet-friendly, and waterproof. Plus, it has sound-reducing attached pad for added comfort. Update your spaces with Great Lakes Legends vinyl plank flooring through January 26th for just $2.99 per square foot. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When it comes to women's sports, there's no place like UW. Our women set the standard for elite performance. From the volleyball court to the hockey rink, every set, spike, and score pushes the boundaries of what's possible. UW Health mirrors this dedication to greatness. Our extraordinary team of doctors combines revolutionary research with compassionate care, setting the benchmark for healthcare across the country. So for the best care and the best athletics, it's easy. UW all the way. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, Badger fans. Basketball season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
Rolling on with the Greg Gard Show, Badgers hosting the Buckeyes on Tuesday night. I mentioned it took a while for me to get around to ask you about Steven Crow. It's been too long since I've gotten around to ask you about your defense. Getting better. Is it, you know, the Rutgers game holding those two freshman stars? And then, you know, Dawson Garcia is a terrific player for Minnesota. He got his points and boards in that game, but you continue to be encouraged, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think we're understanding it. We're getting better to a degree individually, but I think collectively understanding, you know, part of it's personnel and really playing to the scouting report, understanding gaps and where we can help and where we can't help, and just the consistency across the board, and specifically with newer guys. I think Tanjay is getting a little better defensively. Obviously, Kamari McGee's been really good. Klesman's been good. Gilmore's always been really good. I think Xavier Amos took a jump. You know, I thought he did a really good job on Garcia. I thought his physicality and size bothered him. So, yeah, I think collectively we're getting better. You know, we're not giving up too many easy baskets. The defensive rebounding, obviously, some of it's mano a mano, some of it's the non-blockout, some of it's just long bounces at times on longer shots. But I think we're going to have to continue to get better, because we're going to now see tomorrow night a better offensive team, probably a more complete offensive team that has a little more size and a little more experience across the board.
Yeah, speaking of which, with Ohio State, they've had some ups and downs, but if you've looked at the KenPom numbers, I go, okay, that's not bad. You know, they were able to get the win at Minnesota. One got away against Oregon. But it's hard to get past they beat Kentucky by 20. So yeah. When they're right, look out.
Yeah, when they're good, you've seen them. If you watch, go through their, you know, the Rolodex of tape, you can find them really, really good. And Kentucky was that game that they were, that was kind of the one that jumps out. But there's been other parts of games where they've looked really good. And then, like you mentioned, they've been up and down a little bit. You know, Michi Johnson has left the team. So I think that was there's been a little bit of a transition from that. But obviously you got Bruce Thornton, Devin Royal, two guys that really have stepped up. And then John Mobley, the freshman, man, he is impressive. He doesn't play like a freshman. I mean, really is scoring it well. You know, and Parrish, the Michael Parrish, you transferred from San Diego State. He obviously coming from that program, you know what type of player he is. So they have, you know, some guys that can really play. And then it's a matter of the other guys, Mahaffey, Stewart, kind of filling their roles along the way. But Thornton, from a point guard standpoint, really makes them go.
This is the first time, right, you've played Ohio State with Jake Diebler as the head coach, I believe. I think.
Well, Holtman got tossed.
Yeah, it was right after here, I believe.
Well, no, actually.
Oh, that's right. That's game. That's right, Columbus. Yeah, right.
He got the Mick Cronin early exit pass. Right.
Are they, now, teams have to adjust with personnel, you know, more than ever now, but are they doing some things a little different philosophically with Coach Diebler?
There's a lot of things that are the same. Some of the offensive scheme is the same. Obviously, as I mentioned, the ball's in Thornton's hands quite a bit, which was the case before. And obviously, they've had some, like all of us, have had some roster shifting. You know, they had one of their players went to Michigan. Blanking on his name. Roddy Gale goes. Obviously, Michi Johnson comes back after being a year at South Carolina and now has left the team. So, like all of us, we've had to deal with the transient nature of a roster, and you work on putting it together. But, you know, the Stewart kid transfer from Duke, I think he's been a good addition for him. Austin Parks has done some good stuff. He's more of a throwback, old-school center, big body, thick, plays physicals. So, like I said, and Devin Royal, the jump he's made from freshman to sophomore year is pretty impressive. He's a lot, you know, compare him a little bit to Dawson Garcia, minus the three-point shooting, but I think plays more physical and more at you at the rim.
So, like I said, we'll have all we can handle tomorrow night.
You have the Ohio State game. I don't know. I suppose Mark Vanda Wettering is keeping close tabs on what's going on in Southern California.
We're watching that real close. I've been talking to the Big Ten office a lot, and just monitoring. Iowa left on Sunday to go there. They'll play Tuesday, Friday, I believe.
Yep.
So we're watching not only, obviously the men's side of it, but also there's been women's games. So they're keeping us abreast of everything, and we'll know, as of today or tonight, everything's on, and I haven't looked to see what the update is on that situation out there, which has been obviously the video and pictures I've seen. It's been devastating of what's going on. So hopefully they can get the thing under control, not so much for our game, but just for everybody else that's had to live through that.
Yeah, it's been a tough. Those both SC and UCLA have been on long road trips. Mentioned a UCLA playing Monday night at Rutgers. USC, as Greg just mentioned, we'll be hosting Iowa on Tuesday night. Now let's transition to something much happier. I know you don't like to talk about stuff like this, but you're kind of close to a coaching milestone here. We'll leave it at that because the game hasn't been played yet. But in your time now as a coach, 10th year, 9th full season as a head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers, can you put into perspective, we know how the game is changing with the portal and NIL. How much have you changed, do you think, in that time from game one to now?
I would say I am hopefully much more relaxed than what I was then. That time, it seems like it's, I don't know, there's days it seems like yesterday and the days it seems like it was 25 years ago. But, no, I think you've had to adapt. There's some things, obviously, I hold on to that are core principles that still drive us every day within the program. But you have to adapt and adjust, I think, in terms of how the game was played. Obviously, we're in a whole new landscape with portal and NIL and everything else that comes with it. Social media has changed immensely since that time 9 years ago or 10 years ago when I took over. So, yeah, I think some things have stayed the same. There's been things that hopefully I'm doing better for the players than what I did maybe back then. I look back at, things or what we ran or, I might have been a little harder to play for. I was a little stingier on some things. But all in all, I think, like I said, I still have high expectations for our players. And I've gotten great support and great help from my staff. I've got a phenomenal staff right now. And obviously that's had to morph and change and adapt as the game has changed and times have changed. And I think we're in a really, really good place right now with the guys I have alongside me.
You said recently, and you were talking with the media, as much as the game has changed and all that, players haven't changed as much as people might think.
No, right? I think there's a perception out there that players have changed, and they really haven't. I think the external around them has changed, and by that I mean all the people that come in contact with them. And, I think at points in times where society's afraid to hold young people accountable and have high expectations. And quite frankly, the really good players want to be coached and they want to be held accountable and they want high expectations. What's changed around them is, obviously, we mentioned portal, NIL, those opportunities, which I think are good in time for the game. We're in a little bit of a rough water right now in terms of the landscape of college basketball, but obviously the social media. I remember when it first came out, the first player I saw impacted by it was Sam Decker, and that, I think he was maybe a sophomore at the time. So just watching how that has transformed, in society, let alone just college basketball. But players are still, I remember goofy stuff that Krabenoff and Steamson would do when they were players and Penny. And, as I tell the team all the time, it doesn't matter what you try. I've already seen it. One of those guys sitting in the back row of the film room has already tried it 20 years ago. So, no, our players are, our guys are really, I've got a great group of kids. It's fun to coach them. It's fun to be around them every day. I think that's a big piece of why we've had continued success is we have the right people in this program. And we're really good players, obviously, but you also have to be part of or want to be part of something bigger than yourself. And I've got 17 guys that are really focused on trying to make Wisconsin basketball as successful as possible.
They have 17 guys, and as you mentioned, a phenomenal coaching staff. It's fun seeing those guys. And those three guys you mentioned, the goofy guys, now husbands, fathers, coaches.
Yep.
Really good at all three there. We'll take a break. More to come as we continue with this week's edition of the Greg Gard Show right after this on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
Stars.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
It's the Badgers and the Ohio State Buckeyes coming up Tuesday night at the Kohl Center. Our coverage starts at 7. Tip time is set for 8 o'clock. Time for the players portion of the program. In a few minutes, we'll hear from freshman Jack Robinson out of Lakeville, Minnesota. We'll keep with the Minnesota theme right now as we hear from graduate student Stephen Crowell out of Eagan, Minnesota. The 7-footer has been on a roll of late, and it's probably no coincidence whatsoever that with the Badgers having won 5 straight games, Big Stevie is averaging 16.5 points per game and 6.5 rebounds a contest. Had his first double-double of this season last Monday night in the Badgers' win against Rutgers in Piscataway. And as one of the KG veterans of this Badgers program, Stevie and a couple of his buddies are more than happy to welcome in the newcomers, be they freshmen or transfers, make them feel at home,
and show them the ropes of what being a Badger is all about.
Me, Gil, Klez a little bit. He's been here for 3 or 4 years now. Yeah. So, yeah, honestly, but credit to them because they do a great job of coming to us. And it's not just them going to the coaches. It's them coming to us, too, and asking questions. And we're more than happy to help them out.
So much has been made about the, you know, the culture here. We've talked about it a lot, not just a word.
Yeah.
But in this environment, it's probably – it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But it seems like you guys have been able to maintain kind of who you are throughout all of this, right?
Yeah, no, that's – like I go back, it's credit to the coaches. They bring in the right people. And it's going to get a little bit harder now with NIL and the transfer portal, keeping guys around for 4 years. But – like Brad did for me, Tyler did for me, we're trying to do for these younger guys, and hopefully they soak it in and then just keep giving to the next generation, show them what it means to be a Badger.
So. What's the best piece of advice or a couple pieces of advice you give to them, if, be they freshmen or guys who have transferred into the program?
I just say you got to handle the ups and downs of a season. Like even for me this year, there's been ups and downs, and that's going to be throughout your whole college career, and it's just about how you respond to those and learn from those dips and not getting too high when you're having good games. So I think it's just handling those ups and downs. The biggest piece of advice I got for them.
I want to say your disposition has probably been a benefit to you, right? Because you don't let yourself get, you know, too excited or the opposite of things aren't going well. I would imagine that served you pretty well in your basketball life.
Yeah, no, for sure, because I'm a pretty even-keeled guy, so I try to keep that and carry that onto the court and into my relationships on the court. So. It's helped me through those tough times.
As we're talking right now, you're on one of those ups where you're playing really, really well. For everybody has a guess, but they ask the guy who's been playing really, really well. What's been the difference for you, you think?
I just think, like I was just saying, just sticking to it, coming in every day, listening to what the coaches have to say, watching film, learning from those games where you maybe didn't play so well, and just coming out and, like I said earlier, just responding to the feedback.
The number of minutes, is it, if it's fewer, that you're making that work?
Yeah, no, that's just something the coaches came to me, and they're like, maybe you're more fresh if we just do little stints out there with you, and it's been working, and credit to them for finding that out, and hopefully we can keep it going.
The experience is golden. I know Coach Guard's mentioned this many years. You want to get old, stay old.
Yeah.
If you stop, I mean, as we talk, you're in the middle of your season, mm-hmm. but when you have quiet moments or a little gap in the schedule, you just think back of the guys that you've been up against in your career, and you guys have won a ton of games here.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure the older I get, the more I'll look back on it. But, it's been crazy. Even the bigs I've gone up here since I was a sophomore, and even freshman year, just watching those bigs work. It's been crazy, the bigs that have came from this conference and the players too, but it's been unbelievable.
You've mentioned the ups and downs of a team or an individual. I mean, you've been a part of some of their big ups, including a Big Ten championship, playing in high stakes games.
Yep.
How much have those experiences, you know, maybe all the experience mm-hmm. of being a college player, but knowing that in big moments you've been a part of teams that have really delivered, how much of that can help you now, you think?
I think it's a huge thing. I mean, that's one of the main reasons you come to Wisconsin, is to play in those big games, the Big Ten championship games, Big Ten tournament championships. But no, it's been a lot of fun, and hopefully this year we can get to a few more.
Without a doubt. I was talking with Carter Gilmore a few weeks ago about just how the game is changing. We talk about what it was like 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It's changed from 5 years ago, hasn't it?
No, for sure. From when I first came in, I keep crediting the coaches, but having Kirk around and Steamer around, they brought a little new life to the offense and a new way of we're playing, a little bit faster, higher scoring, and it's working. Credit to them and credit to my teammates and all of us for buying into that, for sure.
It's kind of funny, even just, you know, we're announcing a game and you're playing it, so you probably, I don't know how much of a sense you get, but there are some guys who are getting shots up that mm-hmm. fans are going, huh?
Yeah.
But the light's green, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
a big difference now.
Oh, yeah. They give us the utmost confidence. They get mad if we don't shoot it when we're open, so they're giving us all the utmost confidence, and it's been showing this year, and like I said earlier, hope we can keep it going.
If we would have told you that as a freshman, he said, yeah, go ahead, let it fly. And you would have said...
I wouldn't have even known what to say. Yeah. I would have been like, wow, this is college basketball, okay. But no, that's what it came to, like you said. And I'm sure 5 years from now, it's going to be a whole different game too. So it's been fun.
I always ask guys in their quote, final lap, if you have a chance to take it in.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, like, as we speak, you're about to go on a trip to the West Coast.
Yeah.
I mean, how the conference has changed.
Yeah.
Is there a part of that? I mean, you've been in, you know, Mackey Arena, Assembly Hall, and just in Piscataway here recently. Is there a part of you that really kind of gets fired up about playing in a place like a Pauley Pavilion or going out to USC?
Yeah, no, before the season we knew, obviously, the schedule coming out, so we were excited we got to do the L.A. trip rather than – because we already went to Oregon for the NIT and mm-hmm. Washington, so Us older guys, we were excited we get to do that LA trip. So, no, it's going to be fun to go into those historic gyms, especially the UCLA gym. And they're a good team this year, so that'll be a fun big game for us. For sure.
And it seemed like, too, I was talking to somebody a little earlier in the week about, like, years ago, the Big Ten used to be labeled as a certain style, the ACC a certain style. I start to think that the league is so big now, it's not one size fits all anymore,
I think,
is it?
Yeah, every night you're going to see a different team. Like, we were just out at Rutgers. It's a whole different team that we're going to see next week going out to play UCLA and USC. So, any given night, it's a different style of play, and that's what makes it great and so competitive. You can win any night, you can lose any night. So,
one of the things, too, about Big Ten basketball, and I know a lot of national media, they say, okay, it's about March. But you get in these arenas in conference play, and you get, Mac Arena, there's a certain way, and Rutgers a certain way. I don't know how much of that you hear, but I know you see a lot of – you don't see a lot of empty chairs, right? There's just something about regular season Big Ten basketball is pretty special, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for other conferences, but almost every night on the road you're going to see a full stadium. It was winter break in Rutgers, I think, and there's the student section was almost full, so – I'm excited to go out to the Mackeys of the world, and Northwestern is one of the good ones that slept on, I think, just because it's so small and they packed in tight there. So every night in the Big Ten's a battle, and like you said, with the different styles of play, it makes it hard, but we love it, and we're looking forward to it. So.
Final thought, the thing that's going to make the difference with you guys here, as we speak, you guys are playing really well, the record is good, you're getting back into the mix. What's going to be the quote X factor or factors here as you push through the rest of this regular season?
I think the biggest thing for us is just not get complacent. Just keep that consistency. Come in every day, treat practice like a game. Tomorrow, when we do a bunch of up and down scout, treat that like a game. And when the game comes, it's not like we're flipping the switch. It's just natural to us. And hopefully we can keep it going and keep racking up the wins.
One more on top of the what I said, one more. Yeah. When you get in the semester break, there was a time where I used to think, man, it's going to be a tough time for college basketball players because campus is empty. And then over the course of time, I'm going, no, it's actually a really good time because you don't have the academic pressures. Yeah. You play, you spend time with your friends, your teammates away from the floor. This is a great time of year, isn't it?
No, it's a great time of the year. I think we almost prefer it when no one's on campus just because it's just us here, and it almost feels kind of like, hey, you a little bit, just you and the guys and the coaches just hanging out. And like you said, no pressures at school and just playing basketball.
That's Badgers big man, Stephen Crowell. Stay with us. Our players portion of the Greg Gard Show will continue as we hear from one of the rookies, freshman Jack Robison, a fellow Minnesota native of Stephen Crowell and a few others on this roster. The Greg Gard Show continues in a couple of minutes on the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Hey Badger fans, basketball season is here and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
Hi, Mark and Sarah Tauscher here. We are teaming up with American Family Insurance for yet another season of giving.
Together, we're raising funds for American Family Children's Hospital Virtual Toy Drive. Every dollar goes towards purchasing therapeutic play supplies for pediatric patients.
This year, American Family Insurance is matching all donations up to $50,000. So help us support this critical program for children and their families.
Let's gift joy, lift spirits, and deliver happiness.
Learn more at amfamforkids.org.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Wisconsin fans, it's Matza Matt for Brew Pub. Lots of matza pizza. Badger games are intense, high energy, and an experience like no other. Games like that need a high quality, go all four quarters frozen pizza. And you'll find that in a Brew Pub Lots of Matza pizza. Loaded with the best meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese. It's a top-tier pizza, proud to support a top-tier program. So the next time you're visiting your favorite local grocery store and you're in the frozen pizza section, look for the pizza loaded with cheese. A Brew Pub Lots of Matza pizza.
Hi, Mark and Sarah Tauscher here. We are teaming up with American Family Insurance for yet another season of giving.
Together, we're raising funds for American Family Children's Hospital Virtual Toy Drive. Every dollar goes towards purchasing therapeutic play supplies for pediatric patients.
This year, American Family Insurance is matching all donations up to $50,000. So help us support this critical program for children and their families.
Let's gift joy, lift spirits, and deliver happiness.
Learn more at amfamforkids.org.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show. We thank Stephen Crowell for joining us here tonight. We'll stay with the Minnesota theme here, although we heard from one of the vets in Stevie. Now we hear from one of the rookies, Jack Robison, freshman out of Lakeville, Minnesota, and Lakeville North High School. To say the least, the Badgers have been on a pretty good run of players from that program who have become Wisconsin Badgers. Jack is one of two currently on the Wisconsin roster from Lakeville North, of course, joining Nolan Winter. We caught up with Jack, asked him about that and other topics as he gets his first trip around the Big Ten and around college basketball in general. Jack, obviously Nolan was there, but you had Tyler Wall. I don't know how much you know, how well you know Nate Reavers, but knowing that they've been pretty good here, good experience, was that a big plus for you in choosing Wisconsin?
Definitely. They didn't have much say, like, oh, come to Wisconsin. I was Nolan a little bit, being, like, my best friend. But it was just, you know, you see, like, the Big Ten championships that those guys put up here, and it's something that you want to be a part of. So, yeah, you see their success and, you know, the success they had in high school at a program like ours that is pretty similar to Wisconsin's, it makes it, like, there's a comfortability coming here and thinking, well, I can do that too. I can play in this program and do what's expected and, you know, ultimately, hopefully win championships. So,
you mentioned the similarities. Can you give us a couple of examples of how that program is similar to how you guys do things here?
I would say just the discipline and the toughness of, you know, how we do things. You know, we both come from, you know, two great coaches that value, you know, diving on the floor and taking a charge and you know, playing as a team, all those type of things. And, you know, I think there's a lot of similarities beyond that, but those being the main ones.
You were here in the summer, and now you've gone through a fall semester. Has it been everything involved, not just the practices and games, the experience? Has it been what you thought it would be here so far?
Yeah, I mean, I've loved it. I love the team. I love the coaching staff. I love the campus. Everything about it has been great. There's definitely days on the floor that are better than others, but that's part of being a freshman. And just kind of the goal is, you know, have less and less of the bad days and more just staying steady. And I think I've, from where I was in June, I've taken a big jump. So, yeah, it's been great.
I was talking to Daniel Freetag recently. I asked him about one of the biggest adjustments, and he said finishing at the rim. Like, he could get there, but it's about finishing here. For you, what have been some of the bigger adjustments so far?
Just the size and the speed of the game, for sure. You know, having to guard John Blackwell and John Tanjay every day in practice, it's a big adjustment from, you know, playing high school basketball. So, yeah, I would say just that and finishing at the rim for me, you know, getting by my guy, getting to the rim, and then defensively, you know, just holding my ground. And that comes with getting stronger. And I've put on some weight in the weight room so far and still got some ways to go with Coach Snyder. But I would say, you know, it's come along pretty well, I think.
Part of the book on you, Jack, is that there's a lot of versatility to your game. Like when you were in high school, that seems like it's something that's serving you very well as you continue to grow playing basketball at this level, right?
Yeah. I think, especially in our offense, being able to play as a wing and then as a four-man can help me a lot. And just, you know, learning from Coach Penny on, you know, different how to play is in both those spots, But yeah, I think being able to do more than just one or two things on the court can help me get on the court, later down the road.
As we speak, it's still relatively early in the Big Ten season. You've been in some environments, though, certainly, and even out of conference, the game against Marquette.
Yeah.
Now you're locked in to what's going on the floor, but do you kind of take in just what it's like when you're in these different environments across the conference?
Definitely. And I grew up in Minnesota, so watching Big Ten basketball, like, that was every night, it was on. So seeing these places in person now and, being in the environment has been awesome. Just coming back from the rack at Rutgers, that was cool. At Marquette was awesome. Good environment. And then the Kohl Center's been great, too, with Arizona. All these games we've had here, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was talking with Xavier Amos about that because he'd want going from Northern Illinois to here and just the magnitude of the games. That Arizona game is one that probably is going to stick out for quite a while.
Yeah.
Obviously, for the obvious reasons, winning the game, scoring 100-plus, but just what this place is capable of being.
For sure, yeah. I just remember from that game the Final Four teams coming out of the locker room area and just having goosebumps for the 15 minutes straight. It was awesome.
Well, you were pretty young when they went to those. Do you remember anything about those teams?
I do remember watching the 2015 team a little more, but I was still 9 or 10 years old. So, but yeah,
that's what makes people like me feel even older. So I think I talked to you over the summer about this, but one of the things I like to ask the guys who are coming in, either as freshmen or transfers, what was the fun stuff you were able to do around Madison? You guys worked hard all summer, but when you had a little free time, how'd you use it?
Played a lot of golf.
Yeah.
The foursome we played with a lot was me, Steve, Nolan, and Max. So I got to hang around with the older guys a little bit, and it was a lot of fun. Max Klesmit's a really good golfer. So
he can hit it a mile, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he hits the ball a long ways, and when he's on with his wedges 100 yards and in, he's pretty good.
How are the other two guys you mentioned?
They both can hit the ball a long ways if they make a good swing. They're getting back. I've been playing with Nolan since Nolan got into golf during COVID, and that was when he first started. That would be like a 6-hour round playing with him, but now he's a lot better now.
So I've talked with football guys who are like their handicap is single digit, maybe zero in one or two cases. Where would you sit?
I would say I didn't keep a handicap this summer just because I didn't get to play as much as I normally did, but I'd say it was about probably 7.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, some days are better than others for me. Like I'll have days where I'm putting the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
Other days I'm not, so.
That's the killer, right? You could go 3 bills off the tee, and you're from 150 in, you're great, but if you're 3 putting, that kind of screws up everything.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's frustrating, but it's just kind of how it is.
Who's the, just between us, who thinks he's a really good golfer and probably isn't? Do you have any of those guys on the team?
I don't know. I would say maybe Gilly. But I think Gilly...
He could be sneaky good.
Yeah, I think he can be good too, but I don't think he's as good as what he says sometimes.
Okay,
but,
that's fair.
we went out to a top golf type thing, and Daniel Freitag has a very natural swing. He's never played before, but he's pretty good. And so we've been putting, we're in a dorm hall by ourselves right now. There's all the students aren't there, so we've been putting down the hallways, and he could be a good golfer next summer.
That's Badgers freshman Jack Robinson. Stay with us. We'll take another break. We'll look ahead at the Big Ten schedule in the coming days as the Greg Gard Show continues in a moment on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
The morning show on WFHR. It's comedy?
I think for me, one of the quick ones that I have is like telling time on an analog clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it takes me a minute.
It takes me a minute.
Now, that was funny.
Yeah.
At least groan worthy. At least groan worthy.
I needed a minute for it to sink in, James.
No, that was fun. That's good.
Every weekday morning from 8 to 10, only on 97.5 FM, WFHR.
Hey there. This is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff. They just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you gotta stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Today.
Well, as we mentioned, a Big Ten game tonight, UCLA playing at Rutgers before the Bruins finally return back to the West Coast. Let's look ahead in the conference coming up this week on Tuesday night. In addition to the Badgers and the Ohio State Buckeyes, you've got Illinois playing at Indiana. The Hoosiers just throttled at Iowa over the weekend, and Illinois losing on the home floor to USC in a bit of an eye-opening game. Speaking of USC, the Trojans on Tuesday returning home to take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. On Wednesday, Penn State makes the trip to Michigan State. Michigan and Michigan State, the unbeaten team still in the Big Ten Conference. Purdue will be on the road in the Pacific Northwest, taking on the Washington Huskies. Coming up on Thursday night, we mentioned Michigan State, the other unbeaten team in the league. Michigan will be on the road at the Barn, taking on Minnesota. The Maryland Terrapins make the trip to Evanston to take on Northwestern, and Rutgers hits the road to Lincoln to take on Nebraska. On Friday night, Indiana will be at Ohio State, and Iowa's Southern California swing will continue with a matchup against the UCLA Bruins. You've got the Badgers and the Buckeyes on Tuesday night. Our coverage will start at 7 o'clock, and then we'll have the game for you along these Badger Network stations at 8 o'clock, and then Wisconsin scheduled to hit the road to Southern California for a Saturday afternoon game against USC, and then a week from Tuesday, taking on the UCLA Bruins. Certainly our thoughts, as Coach Gard mentioned, to everybody out there in the Los Angeles area, the horrible fire that continues to burn out there in the Los Angeles area. They're hopeful that the games can at least provide a brief distraction to everything going on out there. Badgers and the Buckeyes coming up on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock air, 8 o'clock tip. We will talk to you tomorrow night on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to The Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit them.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Forecasters say historic Santa Ana winds have spread the flames since the first several days of the deadly L.A. County wildfires. After a break in the wind, Richard Thompson with the National Weather Service says now,
from today through Wednesday, we're expecting moderate to locally strong Santa Ana winds across the fire. And with that, it's going to bring continued critical fire weather conditions to the area.
President Biden delivers a final speech on his foreign policy achievements during his administration and says his presidency has strengthened American power in every dimension.
Compared to 4 years ago, America is stronger. Our alliances are stronger. Our adversaries and competitors are weaker.
President-elect Donald Trump's choice of Pete Hegseth for defense secretary will be in the spotlight during confirmation hearings tomorrow. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Hegseth has had a very rocky road. Allegations of sexual misconduct, allegations of fiscal mismanagement. They plan to pepper him with questions.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.